lights, camera, action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
That is a stupid design, and your instructions were very unclear.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
These curious creatures crawl, creep, and climb their way through life.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's the movie show. We're live from Minky Couture in Layton in probably the most comfortable seats we've ever sat in for a movie show, Steve. I don't think we're exaggerating here.
Yeah, I don't know how long we're going to make it.
That's what I was thinking, like, so relaxed. Oh, yeah, we got to start the show here. today's big movie, one that's inspired by true events. Now, it's interesting, Steve, when we start a movie, we'll either see based on a true story, based
inspired
on
by
true events, or inspired by true events. And each one of those things can mean a lot. There's a big spectrum of how close is this to having actually happened.
Inspired might be just one name in the entire movie, and then the rest is all made up.
Wrote everything else out. So we're going to talk about our big movie of the week, which is The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Gus March Phillips, I have a mission I want you to lead.
What's the plan?
To neutralize the German U-boats in the North Atlantic.
We both know that I'm not very popular with the administration.
The reason they find you unattractive is the very reason I find you attractive.
As you wish.
How about Cary Elwes? He's making a killing playing high government British officials.
Yeah. So the big movie review sponsored by Paris RV. They have over 1,200 RVs in stock, and they're ready for your outdoor adventures. So they're sure to have the RV that you're looking for. So check them out at any of their four locations or at ParisRV.com.
So we were talking about this movie the night after it opened, and I said, so anybody count how many Nazis were killed in this film? And I said, I'm going to go with all of them.
That is accurate.
And Sean says, can there ever be enough? Can you kill enough Nazis?
I mean, that's a fair point, too.
I mean, if you think about it, go back, and that movie was like one shot.
Oh, it was the most efficient killings in a movie I've ever seen.
Since the Imperial Stormtroopers showed up in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, they at least shot them here as the Stormtroopers. They just go down when you breathe on them. So at least these guys took arrows from Alan Ritchson or bullets from...
Or two guys with one arrow. Did you see that one?
Yes. This was kind of like Ocean's 8, or not Ocean's 8, Ocean's 11, if it was about war and killing. Because Ocean's 11, nobody gets killed. But it was kind of that same thing. They have to infiltrate. They have to have people undercover. They have to do a whole bunch of things. But basically what this stems from is a group of one of the first special ops things that happened during World War II. And it was something that was only declassified in 2016. So people didn't really know about this mission until about 8 years ago, and they declassified some of Churchill's files. And Guy Ritchie was like, oh, let's make a movie out of this.
Well, it's a perfect fit for Guy Ritchie because he always has these wounded animal leads, and then they laugh and have a good time through the whole movie.
Yeah, in this case, it's Henry Cavill, Alan Ritchson, a bunch of others, which include Aza Gonzalez, Cary Elwes, which you heard in the clip.
I didn't even recognize Henry Golding.
I did not either. And Henry Golding, who looked like he could have been out of Hogan's Heroes, honestly.
Did he have a beard or something?
He did. Yeah, he had kind of like a mustache and beard. Didn't even recognize
him. I had no idea who that was.
And they're a team that's essentially put together off the books, I think you said in your online review, unsanctioned, unwarranted, everything you can imagine.
Undeniable.
And they're sent to go stop the German U-boat resupply that's off the coast of Africa because at this point, the U.S. hasn't entered the war, and part of the reason is the U.S. is unwilling to send supplies to Britain and just have it get sunk by the German U-boats.
Yeah, the U-boats dominated the North Atlantic, so I thought it was pretty clever that they figured out that the filters, the carbon dioxide filters that the U-boats needed were on that cargo ship that they were supposed to blow up.
And that would cripple the fleet more effectively than just about anything they could do.
Oh, that was brilliant.
And maybe it's true. It was inspired by true events, after all.
Well, there's that. And I kept thinking, like, when they finally said, well, it's too thick. We can't do anything about that. I'm like, really?
And they have to adjust their plans.
Wouldn't they just try? I thought that was, like...
Well, they had to save their bombs for something else then, since they couldn't do it the way
they certainly planned. They used all their bullets efficiently.
Well, for me, I thought it kind of had a Casablanca vibe, only a lot more action. And maybe it's because it was set in Africa and so is Casablanca. Maybe these were all subconscious things. But they made their accomplishing their mission look so easy. I was almost disappointed it didn't seem harder.
Well, that's when they raided that German camp to get one of their boys out. It's like, man, those dudes just laid down like, yeah.
They were the A-team and what was it? What was the one I already said? I don't know. But they were like the A-team. They had a
plan. The Dirty Dozen?
The Dirty Dozen. It just everything executed perfectly. Oh, and Ocean's 11. If Ocean's 11 crossed with the A-team, because the plan comes together. But it was exciting. It was fun. It is rated R for the violence. And yeah. So many people get shot. But
All of them
get shot.
If you're wearing a Nazi uniform, you're out.
So what did you give it? I gave it a B.
I did too. I gave it a B.
A B? Okay. It is rated R. It's in theaters. That is one of many things that we're going to talk about on today's movie show, including a vampire ballerina movie.
Yeah. Which they shouldn't have given away in the trailer, but they do. And it's half the movie goes by, and you don't know that she's a vampire.
Yeah, but sometimes that works when you know and they don't know.
Yeah, but they're all like, oh,
but there was a lot more that happens than what that trailer gives away, too. So to be fair, that's only part of...
I would like the blood budget on that movie was just unbelievable. They buy it by the truckload.
Then we have a movie featuring some of the players from Studio C. Not a Studio C film, not a JK Studios film, right. But just featuring some of the players from that, of some wannabe villains.
Yeah.
That was shot locally.
Villains, Inc., yeah.
Then we have one that was from Sundance called Sasquatch Sunset.
I'm going to have a hard time explaining this movie other than everything is very natural.
From what you've told me, I'm interested to see how you're going to describe that on the air. What you can describe to me off the air and what you can describe on the air with this movie are two different things. And then there's a French film starring Léa Seydoux. See, French, eh?
Yeah, let you go.
That I watched called The Beast, which is French, very French. And then we have a movie that I think you and I both agreed is one of the best of the week called Hard Miles.
Yeah, this is why I love doing this job, is that these little gems come along. No one's ever heard of this movie. And when they see it, they'll go home and go, you've got to see Hard Miles.
On the other end of the spectrum, we have Zack Snyder's sequel to Rebel Moon Part 1, Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver, that's coming to Netflix.
A lot of shoot 'em up.
Uh-huh. We've got Under the Bridge, a series on Hulu, and then a couple of series on streaming where famous people go places,
yeah,
but for very different reasons. Conan O'Brien must go. He goes for humor purposes. Orlando Bloom to the Edge goes for, I don't know because I didn't see that one.
More for the athleticism. He has a fear of heights, so of course he climbs the big old tall rock down in Moab. And I have a fear of heights. I could hardly watch that segment.
So we've got all that coming up on the movie show today, including our movie show question. What movie have you walked out of before it finished? Or what movie do you wish you would have walked out of, but you watched the whole entire thing? So send us your messages on that, 57500, and we'll be taking and reading some of those off throughout the show.
The Movie Show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true, but you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
We've been taking your texts as to what movie did you walk out of, or what movie do you wish that you had walked out of? Here's somebody, first one I see, I wish I could have walked out on Barbie. Probably there was somebody that they loved and they didn't want to make upset. The Money Pit.
What?
Ah, see, this is fun. This is part of the fun, is the reactions of people like, wow, you didn't like it? Or to me, I'm always curious, is it that you didn't like it? Was it stupid? Was it offensive? Like, that to me is always, what is the thing that gets you to walk out? Walked out of Religious, boring, and fell asleep during the first half and woke up. Talk show hosts shouldn't make movies. I walked out on a movie that I wish I hadn't, says this texture. I was with a group of friends that all walked out on My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
What? Now, three I could see.
Well, Steve, you were at a movie where half the Utah legislature walked out of.
Oh, yeah, that Four Weddings and a Funeral. That was the opening night at Sundance.
So we'll be taking your text 57500 all through the movie show. Steve, let's review us a couple of movies, one that you saw that I didn't see and one that I saw that you didn't see. We'll start with
Sasquatch. We're going to trade each other off?
Yes. We'll start with Sasquatch Sunset. And
that is the dialogue. Yes. The family of four Sasquatches are roaming, not sure where, but who cares? It's somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, I'm guessing. And there's an older one. There's like a mother, father, and a teenager. And they just kind of cruise around. And this is, I mean, Jesse Eisenberg is underneath one of these.
You'd never know it.
Suits. No, no clue. Riley Keough.
Elvis's granddaughter
is one of them. The other two I didn't know. And so what are we going to do here? Well, we're just going to walk around. We're going to, you know, eat berries. We're going to do other natural things. And
that you do sometimes maybe a day after you eat berries.
Yeah, or maybe the same day. It's just, it's uncomfortably natural.
Intentionally.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no question, yeah.
So what is the point of this movie? Is it supposed to be kind of quirky? Is that all it's trying to be?
The idea is that they're out in the wilderness, but then occasionally they'll run into something that has a human element to it. Like they'll find a tree, got a big red X on it, and they're like touching it, like, what's that about? They come up on an old mining road, and they are freaking out because, you know, everywhere they go, it's all just trees and natural. And here's this ribbon of tar, and they literally lose their minds and everything else. I thought maybe that
literally everything else.
I mean, literally everything. Just it's like the evacuation of Saigon. Everything must go. And I thought, well, that seems like an overreaction to a road. There we go. And so there's a bunch of that. And eventually they keep getting closer and closer to a human settlement. And how does that affect them? And are they able to still, you know, do their thing out in the woods? It's bizarre.
Did this win anything at Sundance?
A lot of humor.
Did people walk out of this one?
They did.
At Sundance?
They did walk out of this one. A lot of people. I mean, there is some seriously some.
So who's going to like this movie then?
Let's see. Well, I'm not sure, to be honest. I think if you're a supernaturalist and you want to see, you know, what somebody's idea of how a Sasquatch family would live, then maybe that this is your movie.
Is it funny?
There are some moments of humor.
Intentional or unintentional?
Both.
Okay. So Sasquatch Sunset, I'm guessing, is rated R from what you've described to me off air.
Well, I think so, yeah. It's just a lot of humor.
Bodily bathroom stuff. Okay.
Yeah, just so.
Did you give it a grade?
I don't know if I did. Let's see, Sasquatch. I didn't, but I would say it really depends. If you're thick-skinned and you want to see something completely off the wall, and if you're adventurous, then you'll probably get a kick out of this. If you're not, you're going to leave.
Yeah, and you described it to me enough that when I was like, okay, I have enough time to try to fit this one in, or I can go to bed at a decent hour tonight.
No, I get it.
I picked a decent hour.
I at first I said, don't watch this movie, but then I thought, you might get a kick out of it, but now I'm not so sure.
So that is Sasquatch Sunset. I'm assuming that's only at the Broadway, or is that in some other
theaters? No, that's in a few other theaters.
Okay,
yeah.
So if that interests you, Sasquatch Sunset. All right, so I'm going to tell you about The Beast.
This is the first time I've done this. How does it go?
En purifiant votre ADN.
It'd be very dangerous to bring someone back to who they were a few years before.
J'ai peur de...
So the plot's set partly in a near future in which artificial intelligence is in control of everyone's lives, and apparently human emotions are perceived to be a threat. So people are going through this thing called an emotional purging process where they relive, at least this is what I observe, they relive moments from current and past lives in order to no longer be attached to them. So you'd assume it's mostly about purging love, since that's what movies of this type are usually about, a big example being Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Okay.
And it does have that. But in The Beast, this is also apparently including emotions like anxiety, which Lea Seydoux suffers from, and so does George Mackay. Anyway, she's undergoing the process. She's reliving several past lives where her and George Mackay, who was in 1917, is that right?
Yeah, he was the lead in that, yeah.
So they've known each other, they've been in love, including during like the late 1800s or the early 1900s in Paris, the 1960s, I think, current day 2023-ish in Los Angeles, and then again in the future. Which
so like
is,
an eternal couple that just keeps reading.
Yeah, they kind of keep finding each other as they, I don't know, again, this is where I'm going to get to one of the things.
This is where
I had
it French?
This is where, it was a really difficult movie to follow. Like, I didn't have the synopsis I just gave you, so I was trying to piece all this together as I watched it.
Yeah.
and it's not an easy task. The story's not presented linearly, so you kind of have to guess what's going on and what time period you're seeing while you're trying to figure out why you're seeing that time period.
Oh, I see.
And I joked it's the Frenchiest French film I've ever seen. To paraphrase a line from Kunk on Earth, all it's missing is a character named Pierre Baguette. You got a fire in a doll factory that's flooding at the same time. You got a long shot of a doll head without any eyeballs just floating in the water watching a character drown.
What?
People are going into discotheques. There's these extreme close-ups for reasons that I couldn't always understand. There was a character that screams, "No!" as they fall to their knees in tears as the camera zooms in on the face. Wow. I'm telling you. Now, having said all that, you know, that was the kind of the silly part of it. But I thought Léa Seydoux was really good, and so was Mackay. It was really artful in its design and presentation. I just didn't always follow it. I think those who are into art films already will likely enjoy this more than just the average moviegoer. It is a mixture of English and French, and at 2.5 hours, yeah, it is way too long for how slowly it moves for me.
Sounds
as the
like
average.
The Broadway, is this?
It is the Broadway, and it's I give it a B-. It's rated R and at the Broadway. So that is The Beast.
The Beast, yeah.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
That is a stupid design, and your instructions were very unclear.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
These curious creatures crawl, creep, and climb their way through life.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We loved hearing your text of what movie you walked out of or what movie you wished you had walked out of.
So what was yours?
Mine is, and I did, it was when I was 9 years old. I was watching Invaders from Mars with my dad and my two brothers at Valley Fair Mall at the Dollar Movie, the old Dollar Movie.
Yeah.
And it was a double feature for a dollar because both the movies were terrible. And we get through Invaders from Mars. I honestly don't know how early I walked out, but there was a scene involving the kid's teacher and a frog they were supposed to dissect. And I was like, I don't even care that it's summer and that the car's been sitting in the 100-degree heat. I preferred to sit in the car than watch the end of the movie. And my dad and my older brother stayed and watched the end.
Well, you had discriminating tastes even back then.
Yes.
I wanted to walk out of a movie. I was at the old Tower Theater. The movie was called Jerry with a G. It was a Gus Van Sant movie with Matt Damon and Casey Affleck walking across the Utah desert. They get
lost. I'm going to watch this, right?
Each shot was a minute plus long. And at one point, I went to the bathroom and came back, and it was the same shot. They hadn't even moved the camera. And I'm sitting there like going, what is this? Why? Just die already. They were running out of water. They didn't have any food. I'm like, oh, it was horrible.
Well, here's one that I'm not surprised to see. We walked out of a movie called Imaginary. We thought we'd gone to the other movie that's coming out next month that had the word imagine something in it.
Yeah, IF.
IF is Imaginary if. Friends. But yes, Imaginary, a very different kind
of
movie.
Yeah, it's a horror film.
And I don't blame you for walking out if that was what you went in with the
expectation. Which, by the way, is pretty sneaky because, you know, they knew that other one was coming.
Here's one I think you would agree with, Steve. Texter says, wish I had walked out of Holmes and Watson.
Oh, that was painful.
With
that was right
Will Ferrell
Christmas.
And John C. Reilly. Still sad losing that time in my short life on that movie.
You know, by the way, Doug walked out of a ton of movies. One of them, Ted, which made me feel bad. But Freddy Got Fingered was one of the – even the title makes me cringe. And he left, and I'm looking at him like, you can't go without me. And he's like, bye.
Oh, so that's the key is if I walk out of a movie, I have to take you with me.
Well, I'm a professional, so I'm not allowed to leave.
Oh, don't guilt me into staying in more movies. All right, well, let's review a couple of movies. In fact, here's one that I promise you will not walk out of, Hard Miles.
Oh, yeah.
Born cyclists, they are not.
You know what overcomes hard luck? Hard work. A ride like this takes grit, and these boys, they have plenty of grit. Wait till you see who he becomes when he gets to the Grand Canyon.
So that's Matthew Modine as a social worker at a medium security correctional school in Colorado. His character gets permission to create a bicycling team of four of the boys from the school who he plans to ride with from Denver to the Grand Canyon, which is seemingly an impossible task.
Yeah, it's 762 miles.
Was that 1,000 miles? No, it's only 762.
You know, the thing I liked about this movie is that it took its time to get to that point where they were on board. And it felt genuine. It felt like every obstacle that he ran into with the boys, you know, the rebellion, the breakdown, the idea that, like, it's just too hard. All of that felt completely genuine to me. And the fact that Matthew Modine is a avid cyclist also helped. And I liked the female character who was his co-worker.
Tessa something.
Hattie.
Hattie. Was the actress Tessa?
I don't know.
I should have pulled up your review, which, by the way, Steve's full review for both Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare and Hard Miles should be on KSLNewsRadio.com.
I actually thought about writing Abigail, too, but I just thought, never mind.
Well, for me, I thought for Hard Miles, it's probably my pick of the week, honestly.
Yeah.
I just love sports movies, especially when they test the character's endurance. I thought the story really connected with me, and it's worth watching. It's got forgiveness, power to change, camaraderie, teamwork. It was a B+ for me.
And it does have a lot of those tropes in it, you know, the sports,
yes,
inspirational. But, you know, the fact that it's cycling and you learn a lot about the teamwork involved in a cycling event, I thought it was
Plus, have ridden through a part of Utah, right? If you're going from Colorado to the Grand Canyon, you got to cut through at least a little portion of southern Utah, right?
Yeah, I think they filmed most of it. It was in Los Angeles and Los Pines, California.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. So
in Colorado. But yes, that one's an emotional one, and it got me to cry a little bit. So that's Hard Miles, and that is playing in wide release, rated PG-13. All right, let's do the other one, the one that you might walk out of.
Which one?
Abigail.
It? No!
Who's inside a cage right now?
What do we know about vampires? How do we kill it?
Crucifixes.
Stake through the heart.
Daylight is a big one. It's just a game to her.
What can I say? I like playing with my family.
Okay, so Abigail is this. At first, I thought this is going to be like that orphan movie where she's like, "I'm just a little girl," and she turned out to be, "Actually, I'm 38 years old." But she's a ballerina in a and very
she's
famous
like
father.
9 or 10.
Yeah, and so she gets kidnapped by these guys, and they want $50 million for it, but they don't know who her dad is, which seems like an
Well, they were hired by somebody to kidnap
her. That's right.
So they didn't. They were kept double blind so that they couldn't get it traced back.
But boy, when they find out who it is, they're like, "Uh-oh, we should probably leave now." They're in this old abandoned house, mansion, and she's like, "Oh, you're not going to hurt me, are you?" Then it gets crazy.
Yeah, and look, not giving anything away, the girl's the vampire.
Well, Bruce Willis is a ghost, whatever.
But this movie, I will say this again: horror, not my cup of tea.
I know that.
Not my bucket of blood.
Oh,
and there is so much blood in this movie, so much. Okay,
a tanker full of blood.
You were up in the middle section, up in the luxury recliners that
you
were
mean
up
I
away.
I got there early enough.
Yeah. Okay. But I was down in the recliners that were in the lower section.
Oh no!
And I felt like I was in the Gallagher splash zone. Like I felt like I needed to pull a tarp up over me because something from this movie was going to splash onto me. That's how much blood is in this movie.
There is so much blood. It's ridiculously over the top.
But it is a clever idea.
Yes.
And the girl is freaky.
Oh, she was in it to win.
She's a pretty good actress because she switches from scared little girl to terrifying monster to whatever that was in between where she's just like kind of laughing at them. Yeah.
When she starts talking about playing with her food, that was hilarious.
Melissa Barrera, who was in Scream 6, this was actually made by some of the Scream guys from the last two movies. And so she's reteamed with them, even though she's not part of Scream anymore. And I thought she was probably the best.
And Dan,
I don't remember.
He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in the Kong movie as the, "Hey, I can save everyone."
He's Dan who? Oh, Dan Stevens. Yeah,
Stevens,
Dan Stevens.
Yeah.
That's right.
He was way over the top.
He was the Beast in Beauty and the Beast with...
That's right.
Yeah, with Emma Watson.
So I thought of the exposition of it, you know, how they explained what each character was, who they were. I thought that was all pretty well done. You know, it does become a bloodbath at one point, and that's just...
A literal bath.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is not for the faint of stomach. I will just tell you that much.
But again, to me, it's so over the top that I just chuckled.
And I will say this, like, I did have to close my eyes a few times.
Oh, Andrew.
All right, but still, I watched the whole thing. I give it a C plus.
A little higher.
I give it a C plus. What did you give it?
Oh, a B.
Oh, okay. And remember, a C plus for me is pretty high grade for a horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, you're a delicate flower, so that's an A.
And that is Abigail, and it is rated R.
The Movie Show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real.
On KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show, Steve. We need to review us another movie before we do the Movie Show Top 10, so we're going to have to be efficient here. Let's do Villains Incorporated.
We're the bad guys with a lowercase b. We're the little bees.
According to your contract, final payment is contingent on the successful takeover and or obliteration of the world. Did you take over the world?
No.
Well, payment denied.
So this is locally made, Villains Incorporated. It stars Mallory Everton and Jason Gray, who are members of JK Studios and formerly Studio C, and Colin Mochrie of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, that was a shock. I thought, I didn't know he did stuff outside of that silly show.
So they play villainous henchmen who long to be supervillains themselves, but they don't have any superpowers. And also, they need a way to make money, which is harder to do when you don't have any superpowers.
Yeah, and they're not very good at trying to be villains.
They're also not very good at it.
No. This is a cute little show. I didn't love it, but you know, I thought, you know, there's a lot of local places that you'll see the Bonwood Bowl in there. And
a lot of Provo locations, it looked
like. Yeah, Provo, and just Mike Hendrick's in it, uncredited. What was that about?
I was so disappointed. Our boy Mike Hendrick from KSL 5, he didn't even know it was coming out today.
Well,
I saw a movie with you in it yesterday. He's like, really? Which one? Villains Incorporated. So,
which one? How many
has
he done?
Well, maybe Mike, this is building his resume.
Well, you know, he plays a newsman, so wow, what a stretch.
That's true. All right, well, for what it's worth, I thought it was occasionally hilarious.
There were bits.
It's
of
clean humor,
hilarity,
which I like.
Yeah. But it's still PG-13, isn't it?
It is. And that's because some of the villains die.
Oh,
in some hilarious ways. And you know what? The budget constraints do show at times. But I think, you know, these are talented comedians. You know, I think Mallory Everton's one of the best of Studio C.
Love her.
And Jason Gray is really good. Matt Meese is in it. He plays a villain who doesn't last too long in the movie. It's going through a bitter divorce. So it's got that kind of silly. It's not just sketch comedy like last year's Go West was.
Yeah.
But it also isn't produced specifically by JK Studios. It just features some of their actors. So I give it a B-, PG-13. What did you give it?
I'm in the same ballpark.
Okay, B-. All right, and that is Villains Incorporated. All right, so, Steve, we got to go through the Movie Show Top 10 really fast. So we're going to skip the sounder. But the Movie Show Top 10 is sponsored by Call Climate Services. From repair to replacement and installation, callclimate.com. And our number 10 movie, Steve, Suga.
Suga, August D, Tour, D-Day, the movie. He's a BTS singer, huge in...
My niece is probably, she's already going to send me an angry text from England that I didn't know that's
he's
who
kind
it was.
Of a, like almost a cool Elvis-y guy.
Okay. Number 9, The Long Game.
We
didn't get to see it.
They
it's a
would
golf
not
movie.
Show this movie, and I was upset about
it. So
that.
We can't tell you whether you should see it or not. Shrek 2, its re-release for anniversary.
I didn't even know they were good doing it.
Didn't either. Here's the first one that some of us have seen, The First Omen, which I saw, which you didn't. If you like Omen, go see it. It's horror. It wasn't terrible. Number 6, Monkey Man. Oh, that's me too.
Yeah.
Super violent punch fest with Dev Patel. I kind of liked it, but not as much as I hoped. Number 5, Dune Part 2. That is my favorite for the year.
Almost made $700 million worldwide, so yeah.
Number 4, Kung Fu Panda 4. Yes or no?
Yes. It's almost made $500 million worldwide, too.
Number 2, Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. Yeah, if you want to see it.
I have Ghostbusters at number 3.
Oh, yeah, I skipped that. Number 2, Godzilla. Number 1, Civil War.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
What do we really sell? Sell dreams.
And imagination. And sparkle.
The week's big movie review. Movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
This guy's a lunatic. A psycho. He will eat you for breakfast. He won't even notice it, probably.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
That's supposed to be you or me?
I think you're the psycho that would eat people for breakfast and not even notice.
Wow.
Because I'm nice. I sell sparkle on the movie show.
What are you, rainbow bright of?
By the way, we just to finish out the Movie Show Top 10, we didn't get much chance to say anything about number 1 movie, which was Civil War.
Yeah.
Which you liked.
I kind of liked.
Do you think it was a necessary watch? I've heard some reviewers are like, this is a necessary watch. And I was like, Kind of agree, but not.
Well, I get the idea. It's a cautionary tale about the fact that we don't get along in this country. I get that part. It just felt a little pushy.
But it is cool in IMAX.
Definitely is. And the sound effects were awesome.
If we sound a little more relaxed than usual on the movie show, it's because we're sitting in these big recliner chairs that we don't normally sit in. And I'm noticing that it is making me feel a lot more relaxed than I normally do. So let's pump up the energy and get into our big streaming reviews.
Ooh, okay.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
And our big streaming review of this week is on Netflix, and it is called Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver.
You're all here because there is nothing to return to. Dark days lie ahead of us all. We will teach you how to fight.
So we have the big budget sequel to the attempted sci-fi epic Rebel Moon from director Zack Snyder. Part one of the series called A Child of Fire hit theaters we saw it in the theater, but it hit Netflix back in December of last year.
Not going to make that mistake again.
Apparently not. And now we get part two called The Scargiver. So the heroes from the last story, led by Sofia Boutella's character, they go back to their farm planet to regroup and wait for the Mother World's military to retaliate against what they did in part one, because they're rebels, see? Yeah. But it turns out the bad guy from part one didn't die, and now he's mad.
Boy, is he ever. And so, again, this is the Seven Samurai, or the Magnificent Seven, just put into two different movies. I can't get over the fact that people don't realize, well, if they haven't
people
seen
don't
it.
Realize it because they haven't seen Seven Samurai.
I mean, it's basically a group of people that are protecting a bunch of farmers, and they're skilled at warfare, whereas the farmers have no clue. And so they're going to teach the farmers how to fight against the Imperial troopers.
With your John Wayne accent, I kind of feel bad for Rebel Moon just a little bit, because Dune has a similar visual style in a lot of ways, but it's done so much better.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel a little bit bad, because, I tried to watch this. First of all, for The Scargiver, you have to watch Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire. You cannot watch this second chapter without at least having seen the first chapter. You're going to be even more lost than you will be even having watched the first chapter.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But I kind of liked Part 2 more than I did Part 1. Maybe it's because I didn't have to try to figure out who everybody was and what they were doing.
Oh, no.
And
because
it was shorter also.
They took time out, to everybody had a little round table moment. Like, so where'd you come from? How uncreative is that? I mean, at least in Abigail, they're like, hey, let me guess where you're from. And that made it interesting. This was like, so what's your story? And they literally went around the table and everyone told their story for 25 minutes.
Speaking of length, this is a little bit shorter than Rebel Moon Part 1. I was a little surprised by that, believe it or not. And even though Zack Snyder has said he would like this to be like a 6-part epic series, it wraps itself to a point where if there doesn't end up being any more, at least there's some closure to a lot of the story arc that they started in Part 1 and continued in Part 2. So I will say that without trying to give away anything more about that. And saying this, say what you want about Zack Snyder. He knows how to stage epic battle scenes and create some cool cinematic shots.
I will give him the battle scenes. Those were pretty spectacular.
I give Rebel Moon Scargiver a C+. What about you?
Wow.
That's why I said I liked it a little more than I thought.
Well, I'm at probably a C.
And any movie that has sword fighting always gets a little bit of a bump from me, because I love that.
Yeah, but electrics, how about electric swords?
Exactly. See, we have had laser swords. We've had regular swords. We've had flaming swords. Now we have electric swords.
Okay.
All right. So that is Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver on Netflix, and it's rated R.
Who did she give a scar to?
The general dude on his chest.
Oh.
When she ran him through. But he didn't
die,
and now
he's
back.
He's got a little rash there on his chest. Okay.
All right. So also on streaming that we want to talk about is called, where did it go?
Under the Bridge?
Under the Bridge.
This girl, Rena Vert, she's been missing for 3 days.
At night, I saw something.
What happened under the bridge?
Can you keep a secret?
And this is based on the Red Hot Chili Peppers song, of course. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. Under the Bridge in Canada.
No idea.
Is where somebody might have found some blood. Thank you. Thank you. I will be here for another 45 minutes, folks. No, Under the Bridge stars Lily Gladstone and Riley Keough, and it's a series on Hulu that is a mystery.
Yep.
A lot of mystery, including in the first episode, you're going to think you knew what happened, as are the characters, and then you're not going to know what happened, and then you're going to think you knew what happened, and you're still not going to know what happened.
Here's what I like about this. It's set in Victoria, a gorgeous part of the world, and yet every time we end up in a gorgeous part of the world, the people who live there are a mess.
It's an interesting juxtaposition.
And Lily Gladstone is a cop, and Riley Keough is used to be one of the Victoria girls.
Yeah, so a lot of this centers around a house for girls in the custody of the province, I guess, provincial custody, where they can't live with their families for a while. There's a girl who we don't know yet because we've only seen two episodes. They didn't send us more in advance. We only watched what everybody else can see. But a girl who at least spends time with the girls who do live there. Maybe she lived there. We don't know yet for sure.
Yeah.
And she disappears.
Yeah. And then there's one girl who's like the ultimate mean girl.
Oh, yeah. She's like
Josephine.
Regina on Mean Girls was Times. Also a psychopath and
a devil worshiper.
And what's the one? What's the sociopath? The one that doesn't have actual
remorse
for any of the horrible things that they do.
She is scary.
Yeah. And so that's where we are. It's a mystery. Lily Gladstone plays a cop. She's the daughter of a cop. She may have spent some time at that house or something. There's a connection between her and Riley Keough that we're just finding out. So
yeah.
I actually was really intrigued, and I was kind of disappointed I couldn't find out the next chapter in the story.
Yeah, because we're spoiled. We get to watch them
really
all usually in one fell swoop, and now we have to watch it like a normal person.
Yeah, and we are just so spoiled and looking down our noses at regular people that when we have to become a regular person, we just can't.
But I'm hooked, so I want to continue.
Under the Bridge, rated TVMA, and it is on Hulu.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Steve, we've been asking people what movie did they walk out of, or what movie would they have walked out of, or they wish they did. A movie called Movie 43 was so bad, says this texter. I would have walked out even if I was watching an in-flight movie.
I made Melanie watch that movie with me, and it was like a midnight film, and we just both started laughing.
Ugh. Let's see. I wish I would have walked out of Master Gardener. I kept thinking there was a bombshell that was going to drop, but no. Blair Witch.
Really?
Maybe it scared him so bad.
They're going to redo that. I don't know why. How's that going to work?
I don't know.
It was a shock the first time. You're supposed to forget that it was, found
don't
footage.
Don't say.
Found footage.
I don't know. Flash Gordon?
Oh, come on.
Here's somebody who says, Lord of the Rings. Fell asleep 20 minutes in, then I woke up 45 minutes later, and it was still going. Fell back asleep. Not my kind of movie.
That's my daughter.
All right, 57500, the movie you walked out of or wish that you'd walked out of. But Steve, let's review us a couple more things from the streaming right now, including Orlando Bloom, To the Edge.
I felt about as close to death as I could possibly get.
Things could go wrong quickly.
But maybe it's the universe stepping in and going, not today, buddy.
I got to tell you, right off the top, he is ripped. I've never.
He's not lean Legolas anymore.
Like he's like Jake Gyllenhaal ripped.
Ooh.
And he does three episodes so far. He was a deep sea diver in one. He was a skydiver in the other. And the one I watched was the one in Moab where he rock climbs something called the Ancient Art. And it's one of those spindly.
So he's one of those people that are getting on the art down the cave art. Oh, man.
Not that guy.
Oh, okay.
They call it Ancient Art, but it's just like a spindle of rock that you go to the very top and then you stand on. It's like the size of a pizza box.
So this is why it's called To the Edge, is he gets on the edge of really high things?
Yeah, he just tries things that he fell out of a building, like a third story building when he was 10 or something like that, and it really messed him up. So he's doing things that scare him to death. And I'm telling you, if you're afraid of heights, this third episode is almost unwatchable. It's just.
And so you're saying that scared the tar out of you?
Completely. I was horrified. And he does some training, with a young lady named Mo. And she's just really cool. But she goes, look, from here on, if you don't do it right, you don't live.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, are you sure you want to kill Orlando Bloom on your
show?
Yeah,
I can't imagine what the insurance on that show
is. I know.
But, so Orlando Bloom, To the Edge, what's that on?
That is on, I can't remember.
Looks like Orlando Paramount Plus.
Orlando Bloom is on Peacock.
Oh, Peacock. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would have a P plus if it was Paramount Plus. That's nice. Our shorthand code. All right. And then we've also got Conan O'Brien Must Go.
Earth, to truly appreciate the astounding grandeur, sometimes you must defile it. Behold the Defiler.
I am Conan the Red.
Are my pants falling? I think my pants are falling down.
Yeah.
So Conan, I love Werner Herzog doing the narration at the beginning. That was hilarious.
He opens every episode with that. And in order to understand this planet,
oh, he does. Okay, I only
you
saw
must
the first
defile
one.
It. And it's Conan O'Brien. So Conan O'Brien, apparently on his podcast, he'll have random call-ins. And then he surprises those random call-ins by going to their country and then having them show him around and let him
and
be immersed in the culture.
Completely messes with them.
Oh, so this one's on Max,
HBO
and it's got
Max,
three episodes available. I watched it last night and some today, and it was, I don't think everything that Conan O'Brien does is hilarious.
Yeah.
But when he is funny, he is funny. And some of his jokes don't land, and he's throwing a whole bunch of things at the wall to see what will land.
He shows everything.
But some of the stuff that lands, I laughed to tears at. He goes to Norway in the first episode. And at one point, he meets with one fan who works on a salmon spawning vessel.
Oh, a salmon farmer, yeah.
And when he enters on camera right before they get on the ship, I just busted out laughing out loud. He works with a couple of Finnish Norwegian rappers to help them get their song played. And just he goes to Argentina in episode 2. That was the one I watched today. And again, if Conan O'Brien is your style, then this is funny. But not every part of it is funny. And if clean network Conan O'Brien is more of your style, just beware. This is
unplugged.
Unplugged Conan O'Brien, where he can say whatever he wants, and there's a lot of...
A little bit more.
Well, there's a lot more than there was on his broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So just if you don't let that sneak up on you. But boy, I thought it was really funny.
I thought it was partly funny. He got a little unnerving after a while. I'm like, dude, relax.
So that is Conan O'Brien Must Go on Max. We've got some more texts coming in, 57500, of the movie that they walked out of. Walked out on the original Exorcist.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Adaptation. I don't know that one. Loved the actor, hated the movie, says this listener.
Nick Cage.
Oh, okay. Let's see. My sister-in-law texted and said she couldn't make it a full hour into Monkey Bone with Brendan Fraser from 2001.
I don't even remember that movie.
Here's a vote for Eyes Wide Shut. I started watching that, but it was on cable, and so I switched the channel, so I don't consider that as a walking out, because if you switched in and switched out, that doesn't count. It's you paid to see a movie, and you didn't finish it.
Pretty intense film.
So, here's a vote for Napoleon Dynamite. I could kind of get that only because I didn't quite get it when I watched that the first time.
It's so dumb that you, like...
It is.
Like,
but then the next day I was like, wait, did they really say this? And then I started thinking it was funny. Like, it kind of grew on me. But watching it, I didn't have it. So we'll keep taking your texts. And when we come back on the movie show, we will have Telephone Torture, the theme, a Guy Ritchie movie.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone Torture.
It's time for Telephone Torture. And what a great prize pack we've got today from our friends at the Movie Show Theaters. We've got a chance for prize today. We've got our usual prize.
Yes.
Which is?
Two drinks, a tub of popcorn, and two tickets.
And that we call our date night package.
Yeah.
Because it's for two. But we've got a special movie show prize pack today only. Our optional one. It's to win a Megaplex Daddy-Daughter Trip family prize pack, including six tickets to see Daddy-Daughter Trip at a participating Megaplex Theaters location, a Rob Schneider autographed movie poster of Daddy Daughter Trip, a Megaplex popcorn for the family, Coca-Cola soft drinks for the family, and here's the thing. You don't get to meet Rob unless somehow you could work it out today, but we do want to let you know that Rob Schneider is appearing in the following locations today. To meet fans as they do screenings for Daddy-Daughter Date. He will be at Jordan Commons in Sandy from 1 to 3,
okay,
which is just 20 minutes from now. He'll be at Thanksgiving Point in Lehigh from 3:30 to 5. He'll be at Jordan Commons in Sandy from 5:30 to 7. It's 5:30 to 7:30, and then at Valley Fair Mall in West Valley from 8 to 9 p.m. And he'll be introducing the screenings and give the fans a chance to interact with him.
Yeah, you said daddy-daughter date, but it's daddy-daughter trip.
Did I say date? I meant daddy-daughter trip. Daddy-daughter dates are fun, by the way. Did you ever do any of those with your girls when they were younger?
Sure.
They're so awesome. All right, so it's time for Telephone Torture. Our theme is a Guy Ritchie movie. Here's the deal. We're going to ask three questions. If you think you know the answer, try and call in at 801-575-8255. You can also send a text if you think you know the answer, but we're going to go with the callers first, and if none of the callers get it correct, then we will go to the text line. So here is our first question. This is a Guy Ritchie movie that is
a live-action telling
of a story that was animated by Disney at one point.
I know what you're
thinking. Do we have anybody on the line who wants to take a shot? If so, 801-575-8255. Who's this? Hello, who's this?
Don.
Don, what do you think?
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie movie.
What's your guess?
Don, do you have a guess for this Guy Ritchie movie?
Yeah, let's see. It's
Can't Google it, man. Are you trying to furiously Google things?
No, is it like a mouse movie? I don't have a guess.
Oh, he doesn't have a guess. All right, well, good luck. We'll try it again. Now, second clue for Telephone Torture. First one is, it is a live-action telling of a movie that was once told in animated form by Disney. Second clue, this film was pitched to the studio and the actors as Lord of the Rings meets Snatch.
I know what you want.
And this sold the star on the movie, saying, that's a film I wanted to see.
Oh, Snatch is hilarious.
All right, do we have a caller to try to take a guess? All right, who's this?
This is Chris.
Chris, what do you think?
Hey, can you repeat the question?
Well, we got a couple. It's a Guy Ritchie movie. It's a live-action make of a Disney one, Disney told before, and one that that was pitched as Lord of the Rings meets the movie Snatch.
Okay.
Three, two, one. What's your guess?
Okay, I got it. Can I guess?
Guess. Are you looking it up on your phone?
I don't. Yeah, let me try. Sorry.
All right, nice try. Chris did not know the answer.
Nice delay move, though.
All right. Final clue. All right, let's see. The lead actor in this movie, Charlie Hunnam, promised that he would get into incredible shape for the movie, even saying he was going to do 500 push-ups a day, as he wanted to look like one of the guys who do that. After the filming concluded, Hunnam said he did, in fact, do several hundred push-ups a day, with his personal record being 1,050 in the same day.
Wow.
All right, who's this?
This is Eric.
Eric, what's our answer?
Yep, it's Aladdin.
Is it Aladdin, Corey?
You're killing me, Smalls.
Oh, what a good guess. I can see why you would guess that, but that is incorrect.
See, you were being sneaky.
I was being sneaky. There are two Guy Ritchie movies that were once told as animated Disney tales. Aladdin is one of them. However, Charlie Hunnam was not in Aladdin.
That would have been helpful.
I did say Charlie Hunnam at the end.
No, I know.
And that is it. So we took three callers. Now we have correct answers on the text line. We actually have a correct answer on the text line. And the correct answer, Steve?
It's King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, right?
King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Why did I pick this? Because I loved this movie, and it was supposed to be the first of six movies, but it tanked so hard at the box office that they canceled it.
I actually enjoyed this
film. And it broke my heart. Eric Bana played his father. To have the sword become inside Eric, I thought everything about it, and it did feel like Lord of the Rings from the first moment. That was my first thought watching it.
The thing is, it's so gritty that I think people were thrown off by that version of King Arthur.
That's very possible. So congratulations to our friend whose cell phone number ends in 6093. You were the first correct texter with King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. In fact, we had a guess for King Arthur, Sword in the Stone. But it's King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. So you'll have a chance. Stay on the line. Corey and Gustavo will get your information. Oh, sorry. We're going to text you because you're not on the line.
Ah.
And then we'll get your information and we'll get you out that Megaplex prize pack.
Which one do you think you'll... Well, I guess we won't know.
I guess we won't know. But thanks for playing Telephone Torture and thanks to our friends at Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters.
So, yeah, Rob Schneider's in town. If you want to go see him, he's at the Jordan Commons from 1 to 3.
Yep.
Then he goes to Thanksgiving Point till 5.
Correct.
Then back to Jordan Commons from
Jordan Commons, Thanksgiving Point, then Jordan Commons at 5:30, and then Valley Fair Mall at 8.
Okay. He'll be there to talk about his movie and sign autographs, so you can run in and meet him.
Awesome deal.
The Movie Show. It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all. On KSL News Radio.
Our Movie Show... Telephone Torture winner, Peter. Congratulations, Peter, for being on top of it and getting your text in first. Because, hey, if they don't know it on the phones. And you know what? I'm starting to think maybe texting is a better option because we always get people who call in before they've even heard the questions.
Yeah, that's because they're trying to buy time.
Exactly. What was that question again? As they're furiously searching.
Who am I talking to?
Who is this? All right. Well, Steve, it's time for Rapid Fire. Actually, before we get to Rapid Fire, there was one movie that we weren't able to see this week that did hit theaters that we want to give you a heads up on. It is called Spy Family Code White. I don't think we have sound for it. That's okay.
Is it anime?
It is. It's the originals. It's based on an original anime series. And in the anime series, it's a spy on an undercover mission. He gets married and he adopts a child as part of his cover. And his wife and daughter have their own secrets, and all three have to keep together. So Spy Family Code White, after getting an order to be replaced, the guy named Lloyd decides to help Anya win a cooking competition at her Eden Academy by making the director's favorite meal in order to prevent Lloyd from being replaced. So that is Spy Family Code White. And my nephew, who's a big anime fan, has been trying to talk me into watching this series for a couple months now. And my brother, his dad, is like, yeah, it's pretty good. So,
well, anime is hugely popular.
But he's also said this is one that's actually pretty good, even if you're not necessarily interested in anime.
Oh, okay.
So that is Spy Family Code White. All right, now it's time for Rapid Fire. I forgot to get the Star Wars sound effect. That is a laser gun, by the way.
That's okay. I get it.
So, Rapid Fire, Steve. Our big movie of the week, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yes, yes, yes.
Rated R. I gave it a B.
B.
And I think if
it's
that's
a perfect
your thing,
Guy Ritchie movie.
Okay. We also have Sasquatch Sunset, which I did not see.
This is not what you think it is. It is a naturalistic, I mean, this is four Sasquatches.
It's not what you think it is. I don't know what you could think of it from the title.
Yeah, I guess not. Everything is unnatural and on every level.
Including some gross parts.
Including everything animals would do without being seen by humans.
Except for their humans in animal suits.
That's true.
Ugh.
Which how they got, they had 3 days of Sasquatch training before this.
Because they had training for it. Excellent.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
All right, and then The Beast, rated R, starring Lea Seydoux. I saw that one. It's a near future where artificial intelligence, people are trying to purge emotions. And so Lea and the guy from 1917, the movie 1970.
McKay.
Yes, George Mackay. Are in love, and she can't seem to get him out of her mind.
They're two great actors, so.
Yes, hopefully. But it's very French. And it's long. Hard Miles, Steve, my pick of the week.
Yeah, this is the sports inspirational movie of the week about cycling and a bunch of kids from a correctional facility coming together. That's actually pretty cool.
And I thought it was really well done, an emotional connecting story, and one that we hope people will make the effort to go see.
And Matthew Modine, I like him.
Yes. We've also got the movie Abigail, rated R.
Well, they give away the fact that the little ballerina is a vampire. Other than that, I thought it was pretty funny.
It's a very clever idea, I will say, even as not a horror fan, but holy shnikey, there's so much blood in this movie.
Yeah, you know, she's a vampire. What do you want?
All right. Then we have the movie Villains Incorporated, featuring a couple of people from JK Studios, formerly Studio C, and Colin Mockery.
Had moments of cuteness.
Filmed here in Utah.
Yep.
And I thought it was pretty funny sometimes. We have on streaming Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver, from Zack Snyder.
Well, it's the second half of Seven Samurai, so there you go, except it's in space.
I liked it a little better than part one, but it's either going to grab you. You'll know pretty quick when you start watching it whether you're going to be able to finish this or
not. He's a better effects guy than he is a storyteller.
Yeah, I kind of wish there was some people that could have helped with the story maybe, but then again, I don't know. Maybe there's a director's cut that's like 8 hours long. We have Under the Bridge on Hulu, a series with Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, the Oscar. Well, we thought she was going to win the Oscar.
Nominated. This is a mystery set in Victoria about a bunch of girls, and some of them are quite troubled. And we've only seen the first couple episodes. This is one I want to finish.
Yes, it was an intriguing mystery that hooked me in pretty good, too. Under the Bridge. We've got Orlando Bloom, To the Edge, a reality nature, or not nature, but it's Orlando Bloom doing things in real life.
Well, the third one is about them going down to Moab and climbing this ridiculous rock.
And you liked the show?
Oh, yeah.
Except for the part where it made you afraid of heights that you already were?
Terrified. I mean, and watching it on TV, and I'm scared to death.
We've also got Conan O'Brien Must Go.
A little bit of Conan goes a long ways for me.
And I thought when he was funny, he was hysterical. Okay. But not everything lands. Conan O'Brien, that one is on Max. And, wow, I think that's all of it, Steve.
Did we really get it all?
Goodness. Huh. We sure did. So that is the movie show for today. Let's read a couple more of your texts before we wrap things up here. Our question to everybody was, what is the movie that you walked out on or wished you had walked out on? We've got Blasphemy that was texted to us from somewhere at an Idaho phone number. I actually slept through Return of the Jedi, and I've never watched a Star Wars movie ever since. That's blasphemy right there.
Oh, that's what you mean by
that. That is blasphemy.
I thought that was the name of the movie.
No. It's somebody sleeping through Return of the Jedi. We also have the Russia House.
Andrew,
I never saw that.
You can't take it personally.
Oh, I've taken it personally.
Okay. What was the other one?
The Russia House.
Oh, with Sean Connery? No.
I walked out of Rabbit Test, says this texter. Buckaroo Banzai with Peter Weller.
Chris
really
Hicks'
bad.
Favorite movie.
Was it? Or no, he didn't like it, right?
No, he did.
Me and my daughter walked out of the Lego movie. I'm sad to hear that. Aww. I thought that was really funny. Well, that is the movie show for today. We are almost through April, and we've still got a lot to go. We appreciate you being with us. Thanks to Parker, our on-site tech.
Yep.
Corey and Gustavo back at the studio. Absolutely. Steve.
Lisa and Christine.
And Lisa and Christina here at Minky Couture.
I'm Dave.